Welcome to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. This episode reveals the 5 most common sleep regressions, how to prepare for them, and what to do when they do happen. So freshen up that cup of coffee, switch that load of laundry before you forget, and listen in. You're listening to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson. I leveraged my skills as a speech-language pathologist to research and discover the gentlest and most effective sleep training methods and strategies available for our 3 children, successfully helping them learn to sleep through the night and take regular scheduled naps starting at 3, 4, and 5 months old respectively, effectively reclaiming confidence, structure, and peace in our home, and creating a better, healthier relationship with my husband and our children. On the show, you'll discover bite-sized, actionable strategies for all things baby's sleep and development, and avoid wasting time, money, and tears on strategies that simply don't work. You'll gain a sneak peek into the most reliable, evidence-based strategies available. You'll also get exclusive access and discounts to time-saving, headache-crushing tools and our unique Play Sleep Grow sisterhood to make your sleep training journey and your relationship with your child easier and more grace-filled than you ever dreamed possible. Subscribe now and listen in every Monday. So grab a cup of coffee, snuggle that baby close, and welcome. You belong here. Welcome back to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson, wife, mom, licensed speech-language pathologist, and certified pediatric sleep consultant. In today's episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on the 5 most common sleep regressions. You'll learn why they happen, how to prepare for them, and what to do when they do happen. You've heard of them, you've dreaded them, you've lost precious sleep over them. A hot topic in all mom groups, sleep regressions. But there never seems to be any consensus on when exactly they happen and what to do about them. Your mom talks about how your brother cried for hours every evening for months when he was a couple months old. Your best friend swears her baby forgot how to sleep as soon as he hit 3 months. Your sister never had a problem until 8 months. But you've also seen on the Instagram page that you follow that there's a sleep regression at 9 months. So which is it? And if you follow the Wonder Weeks app, sheesh. It's like you have to expect a new sleep regression every other week. Is it really this bad? Is there even anything you can do about it? We'll be answering all these questions and more today, so keep listening. So let's first talk about what constitutes a sleep regression. A sleep regression, as it's generally understood, is when your child's sleep becomes disturbed for approximately 1 to 2 weeks. Any longer than that, and it's likely no longer the regression causing the sleep disturbances. By that point, usually there's a lingering sleep association or a prop that was introduced or reintroduced when you were trying to survive that regression. By and large, sleep regressions are caused by major developments in your child's physical and cognitive abilities. The 4-month sleep regression is unique in its cause, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Some people believe that teething can cause sleep regressions too, but studies have shown that most often when teething is the only issue, the sleep disturbances tend to peak right before and while the tooth is breaking through. So if your child is having a rough few days of sleep and you can see that tooth is about to erupt, then it's very likely teething is the culprit. But if you and your baby have been suffering through poor sleep for 3 months, it's not just teething. Something else is going on too. Most often, sleep regressions happen because our babies and toddlers are going through a major developmental leap. This can be a cognitive leap like babbling, first words, object permanence, and much more. Or this can be a physical leap like rolling over, pushing up on hands and knees, standing, etc. For one, while they're actively learning this new skill, their brains are working in overdrive, trying to puzzle it out, which can mess with their sleep. And for another, practicing this new skill is a whole lot more fun than sleep. Think about it. If you've spent all your life walking around on your own 2 feet, and all of a sudden you learned you could hover a few inches off the ground, who in their right mind would rather go to sleep than practice that new incredibly cool skill? How did I do that? Did I really do that? Can I do it again? Now let's talk about the 4-month sleep regression. By far, the most commonly experienced sleep regression is a 4-month sleep regression. Some people claim that this is the only true sleep regression, quote unquote, due to its highly unique cause. This is because the 4-month sleep regression, which can occur as early as 3 months, happens because your baby's sleep structure goes through a major shift. Whereas they had 2 sleep stages before in their newborn months, they now transition to 4 sleep stages. In the newborn phase, baby's sleep consists of active sleep and quiet sleep. Active sleep is where they wriggle and squirm and grunt, and they look like they're waking up, but they're actually still asleep. At this stage of development, newborns don't yet have the ability to repress movement during active sleep. If we didn't have the ability to repress movement once REM sleep develops, the sleep stage when you dream, it would actually be really dangerous. But luckily, at this age, at the newborn age, they can't do any harm when they squirm around during active sleep because they're very minimally mobile in the first 2 months. In the newborn phase, babies also experience quiet sleep, which is a restorative kind of sleep. And it looks just like it sounds. Your baby lies there quietly, sleeping peacefully. Then when the 4-month sleep regression hits, their sleep is shaken up because now they have 4 stages of sleep, 2 light sleep stages, REM sleep, and non-REM sleep. Those 2 light sleep stages make it much easier for your baby to be awoken. So if your baby is suddenly waking more often at 3 to 4 months, ding, 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 you may have found the culprit. REM sleep, which is rapid eye movement sleep, is when you dream, but now your baby is beginning to develop that skill of staying still, or more still, during this stage of sleep. This stage is essentially for learning, transferring short-term memory to long-term memory. And non-REM, which is non-rapid eye movement sleep, is like the new quiet sleep stage. Very restorative, good for healing, immunity, and replenishing energy. Additionally, this sleep regression can happen because this is when your baby begins to become much more aware of his surroundings, including his surroundings as he's becoming drowsy and falling asleep. So you know the recommendation for putting your baby to bed when he's drowsy but awake? Unfortunately, for many parents, that stops working around this age. This is because your baby begins to develop sleep associations, meaning his brain will be he'll begin associating his environment, where he is, what's going on, what he's doing, when he becomes drowsy and falls asleep. And whatever his environment is, when he becomes drowsy, his brain begins to think it can only fall asleep in that exact environment if that exact environment is replicated. Whether that's feeding to sleep, sleeping on mom, bouncing when being shushed, etc. And finally, another wrench that's thrown in around now is rolling. Many 3- and 4-month-old babies begin to learn how to roll, which is like so much more exciting than sleep. This can be especially frustrating if your baby learns how to roll onto his belly, but then gets stuck and can't roll back. Not only are some of the underlying causes for this sleep regression unique, but the solution for this sleep regression is unique to the others too. For this sleep regression, you kind of just have to let nature take its course when it comes to sleep structure development. Typically, this sleep structure transition can take around a week or two before sleep disturbances should begin to settle down. Many babies don't resolve their sleep issues after those 2 weeks, though. And usually, it's not because their sleep structure is still going through the transition. Rather, often, babies still continue to suffer sleep disturbances because they have sleep associations preventing them from falling asleep or back to sleep without those exact parameters being present. So what can you do to prepare for the 4-month sleep regression? Can you prepare for the 4-month sleep regression? You can, in a sense. You can do the following things. 1. Establish a solid, conducive sleep environment for your baby. I have an article on this and I'll link to it in the show notes. 2. Make sure you're following your baby's wake windows and getting her to bed before her wake window is up, so she's in her prime sleep environment when her body is ready to sleep, and you prevent her from becoming overtired. I have an episode on this too, and I'll link to it in the show notes. And 3, begin to help your baby learn independent sleep skills. Now, this is a tricky one. In the newborn phase, most babies need significant help getting to sleep, but they can begin to shape those building blocks for independent sleep. This has to do with their cognitive structure, including and especially the circadian rhythm, which tells their body when and how long to sleep, using things like body temperature and hormones like cortisol and melatonin to establish this structure. Your baby's circadian rhythm is immature still at birth and takes time to develop, but you can begin practicing the routine of falling asleep independently in a very specific way. I have another podcast episode that talks about how exactly to do this, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Now, what do you do once the 4-month sleep regression hits? These are my tips for surviving and winning the 4-month sleep regression. 1, be mentally prepared. There is a very good chance this sleep regression is going to happen. It's going to rock your kid's world. That doesn't mean you need to panic or freak out about it. It's natural. It's a part of baby life, and it's 1,000% survivable. Just know that there's a good chance that it will happen sometime in the 3rd or 4th month. That way, it doesn't hit out of nowhere. 2, accept help. Oftentimes, babies will wake more often and be harder to get back to sleep during this transition. Let your spouse or parenting partner help. Let them know that you need them. Our partners often love to hear that they're needed. Too often, we try to muscle through all this on our own, and it's not necessary. Ask for support. 3, don't plan any major trips or outings or events for the next 2 weeks once you notice this sleep regression starting. If you've already have a wedding or a big event planned, then hey, more hands to help. But otherwise, be kind to yourself and your baby and allow for some easier weeks at home in an environment that'll be more supportive to your baby's and your own sleep. 4, and once those 2 weeks are up, if baby's still fighting sleep tooth and nail, this is an excellent time to start researching sleep methods. There are a ton of different sleep methods out there, different kinds for different kinds of families. I have an episode on how to choose a sleep method that works best for your family, and I'll drop a link for that one too. And 5, if your baby has also learned to roll during this time, you need to stop swaddling ASAP. It's unsafe for baby to be swaddled if he can roll, because if he ends up on his tummy when he's swaddled, he won't be able to use his arms to pick up his head and breathe. Additionally, if rolling is disturbing his sleep, help your baby practice this new skill during the wake times as much as possible. Make it a rolling palooza. This helps to remove the novelty of the new skill, and it helps your baby to master the new skill so he's safer if he does roll in bed. This is often the trickiest sleep regression, but you can absolutely make it through. I have 100% confidence in you and your baby. The next most common sleep regression is the 6-month sleep regression. This one can occur anywhere from 5 to 7 months. These sleep regressions really aren't exact in their timings, so just expect that they'll happen during an average time frame, and they should last about 1 to 2 weeks. The 6-month sleep regression typically happens for a myriad of reasons. Around this time, babies learning to support themselves while sitting up, bring objects to their mouth, which is how babies like to explore shape and texture, and babble using consonant sounds. As with the 4-month sleep regression, you can prepare for this sleep regression by providing your baby with a sleep environment that's conducive to her sleep, watching her wake windows and getting her to bed before that wake window is up, and giving her an early bedtime between 7 and 8 p.m. And what's unique to preparing for the 4-month sleep regression is that this time you can sleep train before this sleep regression, if you so choose. Many sleep-trained babies that have the skills to fall asleep and stay asleep independently don't even go through this 6-month sleep regression because their independent sleep skills have them in such a predictable, strong sleep-wake schedule that their body is primed for sleep at sleep time, and they're ready to play and practice during wake times. And for those babies who are sleep trained and do experience the 6-month sleep regression, it typically resolves itself more quickly and easily than it does for babies who are not sleep trained at that stage. Now, what about once the 6-month sleep regression hits? What do you do then? Just as when the baby learned to roll over, you're going to solve this sleep disturbance by helping your baby practice his new skills during the day. Imitate and respond to his babbles. Let him practice sitting up. Give him ample opportunity to grab safe, clean objects and explore them. P.S. That oral exploration is majorly important for feeding development and acceptance of different food textures down the line. Let's shift now to the 8-month regression. This one can occur anywhere from 7 to 9 months. Again, it's based on when your child achieves the milestones that babies often learn around this time. Milestones like object permanence, pushing up to hands and knees and rocking or even beginning to crawl. Some babies even pull up to standing around this time, though that might not happen for a couple months yet either, too. Babies in this age range may also start variegated babbling, meaning that instead of using the same consonant sounds over and over, like da, 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 they begin to switch up the sounds, like bagada. To prepare for this sleep regression, you can provide your baby with a sleep environment that's conducive to his sleep, watch his wake windows, and get him to bed just before his wake window's up, give him an early bedtime between 7 and 8 p.m., and sleep train. Surviving the sleep regression, this 8-month sleep regression is just like the 6-month sleep regression. Expect for it to last 1 to 2 weeks and practice those new skills during wake periods as much as possible. To practice object permanence, play peekaboo or read Lift the Flap books with your baby and hide his favorite toy under a receiving blanket, letting baby watch you hide it and then letting her be the one to pull it off over and over again. To practice babbling skills, imitate the sound that your baby is making and respond to them as if she's speaking real words. Help her to learn functional baby sign language and say the words as you sign them. Give your baby lots of opportunities to practice pushing up on her hands and knees and enticing her to crawl forward. Teasing with crinkle toys were always a favorite at our house. The 4th common sleep regression is the 12-month sleep regression. If you've been following along, this can happen at 12 months or anywhere around then. Why does the 12-month sleep regression happen? The 12-month sleep regression might happen around the time your baby begins to speak his first words, or maybe when he starts pulling up to standing or cruising along the furniture. Why sleep when you can walk back and forth along the railing of your crib? Babies around this age can also start to use a pincer grasp. That means picking up small objects like Cheerios with their thumb and pointer finger. And they can start dropping items voluntarily into your hand or a container. Babies this age can also begin to point using just their pointer finger. That is a lot of milestones, and it's not even all of them. And just P.S., in the previous months, I didn't list all of the expected milestones for those month ranges either. Your child's pediatrician will often have a list of milestones that they look for at each age range. In our pediatrician's office, they use an assessment called the ASQ. And if you ever want a list of milestones by age, the American Academy of Pediatrics has them on their Healthy Children's website. And I'll drop a link to the show in the show notes in case you're curious. All right. Just as with the 6 and 8 month regressions, you can prepare for the 12-month regression by providing your baby with a sleep environment that's conducive to sleep, watching wake windows and getting your baby to bed just before that wake window is up, giving him an early bedtime between 7 and 8 p.m., and sleep training, if you so choose. All right. In order to survive the 12-month regression, expect for it to last about 1 to 2 weeks, and during the wake periods, help your baby practice those new skills that you see emerging as much as possible. To practice first words, choose a functional first word that you'd like your baby to learn. Try not to choose too many target words at once, especially at this point. Verbal words are first emerging. Model the word like crazy. Pick a word that your baby can use all the time, and especially a word to get him what he wants or needs, like more or milk. You can also practice words like mama and dada too, of course. Remember, your baby has a very limited collection of sounds he can say right now, so we're not going for perfection here. Milk won't be milk, maybe meh or ma. And sometimes first words come out repeated. So instead of more or even mo, your baby might say mo, mo, mo. And better yet, pair a simple baby sign language sign with the verbal word when you model it to give your baby two ways to say what he wants to say. As a speech language pathologist, I can 100% promise you that baby sign does not stop your child from learning to speak aloud. But it can help a lot. To practice pincer grasp, baby puffs, Cheerios, and soft foods diced extremely small, especially foods that are easily dissolvable and mashable, are great ways to help your baby practice their pincer grasp. Whatever you choose, just make sure it's not something that baby can choke on. Model picking up with your thumb and pointer finger too. Pick up a baby puff from your baby's tray while he watches, and then pop it in your mouth, chew and swallow, and look at him and smile as if to say, that was fun. Play is how babies and kids learn. To practice pointing, model pointing to pictures in books and talk about them. No need to ask baby, what's this, what's this? Model, model, model. Then occasionally look at your baby and wait expectantly. Raise your eyebrows. Make a face like you're waiting for him to say something. Model a target word again. Wait. If your baby doesn't say it, no big deal. You say it again and move on. Pointing is crucial for a skill called joint attention. That's when your child can draw your attention to something that they're looking at, whether they want something or just want to show you. Joint attention begins to develop around this time, as your baby begins to try and show you what she's looking at or thinking about. You can also point at something a couple feet away, and once your baby's looking at you, with your arms still outstretched and your fingers still pointed, you can move over to the object you're pointing to until your finger touches it, as if to say, there, this is what I'm looking at. Name what you just touched, what you were just pointing to. Sometimes your baby will maintain attention the whole time, and sometimes they won't. It's no big deal. Just keep trying. And to practice standing and cruising, give baby a safe place to practice pulling up and stand and cruise. Cruising along the glass coffee table might not be the safest option right now. Cruising along the floor, holding onto the couch, is always a favorite. A bit wobbly, a bit stable, and super squishy in case of a fall. And finally, let's talk about the 18-month sleep regression. Just as with the other sleep regressions, this one can hit at 18 months on the nose or in the months around it. What causes the 18-month sleep regression? Around this age, babies are learning to walk. their vocabularies are growing, and they're wanting to practice a bit more independence. Maybe moving away from you, but still looking back to make sure you're still close by. You could prepare for the 18-month sleep regression just like you did for the previous sleep regressions. You could probably repeat this with me now. Provide your baby with a sleep environment that's conducive to her sleep. Watch her wake windows and get her to bed just before the wake window's up. Give her an early bedtime between 7 and 8 p.m. and sleep train. And once the 18-month sleep regression hits, you can expect it to last about 1 to 2 weeks. And you can practice baby's new skills during those wake periods as much as possible. Give lots of opportunity and a safe space for your baby to practice walking. To build vocabulary, model, model, model. You don't always need to be asking, what's this, what's this? You can ask occasionally, but mostly model. Continue to practice functional words for her to imitate. Up, down, eat, bed. Words that are most relevant to her and help her get what she needs and wants. Give baby a safe range to explore. Not too far that you can't get to him quickly if he falls and gets hurt, and obviously not near anything dangerous, but give him some space to explore. This was actually a lesson I had to learn, and I didn't learn it until we had our third. Yeah, I know. I was always right next to my babies, following them closely, even in environments that they were safe to explore. I needed to learn to take a step back once they reached a stage where they wanted to move away and explore on their own. I remember being at my friend's house once, watching her baby army crawl around the room, picking up random toys, mouthing them, and moving on. He was so independent and curious. I was amazed. In that moment, I knew I needed to give my own babies more space. Direction can be good and necessary, but there's a time and a place for free and safe exploration too. It helps our babies and kiddos to learn that they're going to be okay, even if mommy or daddy isn't right next to them 100% of the time. They're going to be okay. And I guess I needed to learn that too. Now, you might be wondering, are there other sleep regressions too? Just because I didn't mention a 24-month or a 36-month sleep regression doesn't mean your child won't ever have sleep disturbances again. They will. But do you get the pattern? When your kiddo goes through a major developmental shift, their sleep might be disturbed. The way to prepare for it is to provide them with a solid, conducive sleep space, a regular sleep structure based on their circadian rhythm and sleep needs, and help them learn to fall asleep and stay asleep independently before that new development hits. And then, once the new development does hit, help them work on their new skills during the day so they can achieve this new milestone more quickly, and help them remove the novelty of the new skill so it impacts their sleep as little as possible. Now, what about when your mom talked about your brother crying for months? What was that about? Are there any other common causes of sleep disturbances? Absolutely. Your mom may very well have been talking about colic. Colic is a confusing and frustrating disturbance to your baby and you. Colic is defined as your baby crying and inconsolable for more than 3 hours per day, more than 3 days per week for more than 3 weeks. By and large, colic hangs around until 3 to 4 months when it usually peaks. And then, all of a sudden, it disappears. The underlying cause of colic is a big mystery. Some researchers hypothesize that it's caused by an immature gut and that the baby cries from pain in his or her GI tract. Others suggest it has to do with dairy intolerance, and still others have different ideas, but the jury's still out. The most important piece of advice I have for colic is ask for and accept help. This is not the time to muscle through. This is not the time to pretend like you can do it yourself. Colic is horrible and you need a break. Ask someone you trust to take the baby. They very well may cry. The baby might cry when your friend or your mom has the baby. You need to get out of the house. Even just physically go outside. Let someone else take care of the baby for an hour or so. You can take better care of your baby if you get a break. Trust me, I haven't had a baby with colic. And even I know I'm a better mom when I get a regular break. Another common cause of sleep disturbances are growth spurts. If this is the case, the baby and baby is older than 6 months and otherwise healthy and growing well, offer more feeds during waking hours. If the pediatrician tells you to add in more night feeds, then obviously listen. But if you can add in daytime feeds instead, do that. Illnesses and travel can also cause sleep disturbances. When you travel, there are tricks to keep baby on track, which I have an episode about, and I'll link to that in the show notes. And then for both illnesses and travel, once baby's healthy again at home, it's time to get back on track. For both illnesses and travel, sometimes sleep schedules and independent sleep can get a bit messy. For illnesses, especially with fevers and vomiting and the like, you do what you have to do to help your nugget get healthy again. And with travel, sometimes you have to bend some rules to get everyone some sleep in an unfamiliar environment. But once the illness and travel are over, it's back to the regularly scheduled program. There can be a bit of a sleep regression here, but the more consistent you are with your sleep routine and structure, the more quickly and easily your baby will get back on track. And finally, your baby can also suffer sleep disturbances as their sleep needs change. This isn't technically a sleep regression, in my opinion, because all you really need to do is reassess when they should be sleeping and for how long. For example, your 13-month-old may be having a harder time falling asleep, but he could also be ready to drop to one nap. Again, I have a whole episode on this, and I'll drop a link for you in the show notes. Are you starting to see why some people choose to hire a sleep consultant? It can be an absolutely overwhelming experience to try and figure out what is causing your baby's sleep disturbances. And that is why certified sleep consultants, such as myself, have spent all this time and energy and investment trying to learn how to differentiate between the different causes of sleep disturbances. Because it makes sense to us, and we love to help. Everyone has a different zone of genius. Mine are pediatric speech and language and sleep. My zone of genius absolutely does not include potty training, taxes, and health insurance. Those are three areas where I need to and do ask for help. If your zone of genius doesn't include baby and toddler sleep, that's fine and understandable. Your zone of genius lies elsewhere, and that is admirable too. Be proud of that. And we finally made it, the granddaddy of sleep regression podcasts. Today you learned 5 of the most common sleep regressions, how to prepare for them, and what to do when they do happen. You're listening to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm Ashley Thompson, and I can't wait to see you next time. Now go snuggle that clever baby of yours. It's time for them to play, sleep, grow. Ending legal note. Please remember that this is a podcast for personal use. It is not medical advice and should not be considered or used as such. I am not a medical sleep professional. And though I am a pediatric sleep consultant and speech-language pathologist, the information I present on this podcast is general information that I have gathered through my own education, research, and experience, and not specific to you or your child. Before implementing any ideas or suggestions I may provide, please clear it with your or your child's doctor first.